name of the King of Kings. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who or what can stop the power that is in that name? There is nothing that can stop the name and the power that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. You can go ahead and return to your seats. So good to be in the house of the Lord with all of you this morning. Thank you for worshiping with us. Thank you for helping us to usher in the presence of the Lord this morning. Amen. Well, we are in the middle of a series right now, as many of you know, and this series is called Renew. Everybody say Renew. Renew, that's right. We're taking the first part of this year and dedicating the first fruits of 2018 to reminding ourselves of the basic disciplines of serving our God. And so last week, we had a special emphasis for our church, kind of a call back to Bible reading, getting back into the Word of God. And we hope that you were able to get back into the Word a bit. And now this week, we're beginning our church-wide media fast. Yes, that is correct. We are going to turn off the TV, keep off of iTunes, try to stay off of YouTube. No, we are going to stay off of YouTube. I'm going to declare that right now. And yes, we're going to say no to Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all the media-driven joys that we experience in the 21st century. And to help us get focused to do this, we do have a short video presentation. Take a look at this.
Oh, hey, man. What's up?
Hey, do you think we can put the phone away for just a little bit?
This week at ATC, we're going to be doing a media fast together as a church family. This might seem detrimental to some of you, but I promise, some really cool things happen when you unplug.
Yeah, for sure, man. I can be there in like 10 minutes. All right, sweet. Bye.
Some people are so connected, they don't even realize it.
Yeah, I probably sleep about 7 hours a night. The other 17, yeah, I'm on my phone probably like 16.
Don't you like have school?
Yeah, I could do a media fast anytime I wanted to.
All right, so what about this week?
How about next year?
When we are too connected, we may not even hear God's voice because we're so in tune with all of the voices around us. Something might be wrong if last week we stayed up to date with all of Trump's tweets, but we couldn't find the time to connect with the scriptures that we as a church decided we were going to read together.
All right, well, if we pull out First Opinions chapter 2, it says that we need to tweet others like... Wait a second, no, that's wrong.
In 1 Corinthians, we see that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, and he said that all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but I'm not going to be brought under the power of any. Media is great, and we can use it for the glory of God, but are you brought under the power of media?
Yeah, I mean, things like Instagram and Facebook are great, but if we can't even put it down for a week or even a day or even an hour, like, we might be a little bit too connected. So now I'm disconnected. Now what?
What's really cool about disconnecting from media is now our eyes are open and our ears are open for inspiration, but not just inspiration, to hear from God. When our mind is constantly filled with song lyrics, changes in politics, talk radio, or all of the latest news, we miss the opportunity to truly meditate on God's Word.
Wow. Who knew taking a walk outside would be so refreshing? I love it out here!
I think he's reading. I've heard of this before.
Hey Dawson, what do you think about doing a media fast for like another week?
No, come on! Ugh.
So if going on a media fast this week scares you, perhaps it absolutely terrifies you, you're probably not alone. We're asking you as a church family, join us on this journey disconnect from media, and invest in your relationship with God and invest in the lives of those around you.
This week, when you normally would binge watch something on Netflix for 3 hours, try something new, like docking.
There really is a beautiful world out there, and we encourage you to take time this week to look up from the screens and look at God's creation and look at His people. Let's do this.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And yes, we did just use a media moment to announce our media fast. Welcome to the 21st century. But seriously, this week, join us as a church. Let's commit as a congregation to turn off all of our media this week, and let's take time to take that time and spend it with God and get into His Word. Let's take some time to pray. Let's connect with somebody, spend some time in fellowship, and you'll see that it will be such a blessing to your life. And you might think a media fast is kind of simple and elementary, like it's not very extreme or hardcore. I challenge you to just try it this week, and you'll notice how often you have noise going in the background, either from your phone or your computer or your TV or internet or whatever it is. And you'll be surprised, but it will be a blessing to you if you join us for that fast this week. And then real quick, if you're a guest or a new attender here this morning, we're so thankful that you're here with us. And we would love it if you could take a few minutes after service to just visit our hospitality suite. We have some fresh cookies and coffee waiting for you. And we just want to take a few minutes to say hello to you, hear your thoughts about your experience here at ATC. And so after service, if you go out into the foyer area, you will see an usher standing by our office wing who will direct you to our hospitality suite. And we just want to take a few moments just to greet you and hear some thoughts from you. And then one final thing, Pastor Soto, as you know, and a group of men from our church here are currently in India on a missions trip ministering. Let's remember to keep them in prayer over this next week that God would use them and also bring them home safely. And check your email probably tomorrow or sometime early this week. We're going to send some pictures of what's that's a good one. Just envision in your head kind of what he's doing over there, and that'll be good. All right, let's get to the Word this morning. I can't give you that exception to just say, well, check your email for this, but Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, we're going to look at verses 11 through 14. We've been in a series called Renew, and so far we've talked about having a renewed spirit, we've talked about having renewed priorities, and so now we're going to continue with this series, and I want to preach to us this morning about having a renewed battle, having a renewed battle. The Apostle John writes in Revelation 19, verse 11 through 14, he says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." Verse 12, "His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Verse 14, "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." I want to talk to you about renewing our battle today, renewing our battle. Lord, we thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time together and to your word. Lord, I pray that your hand of blessing would be upon it. Speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Kind of an interesting picture of Jesus being painted here by John, of his vision that he's seeing in the book of Revelation. In this image, if you're not familiar with this section of Scripture and the scenario of what's taking place, this is what is known as the Battle of Armageddon. Now, you've probably heard of movies that talk about the Battle of Armageddon. Maybe you've read books about Armageddon. Some magazines and articles talk about this coming Armageddon. What is Armageddon? Well, Armageddon is a reference to the final battle that will take place between the armies of the Antichrist and the armies of the Christ, Jesus the Christ. And the word Armageddon is a transliteration of the word Megiddo. Megiddo was a location, it was a place in northern Israel, And this is believed to be the location of the final battle between the forces of darkness and the forces of God. And in our text, a man named John, who was a follower of Jesus, receives a vision or revelation of Jesus' return and the war that's waged between good and evil. Now that you have the proper context, let's just read it one more time here. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened. He's envisioning this. It's being revealed to him. And behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him, he's speaking of Jesus, was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now, when we look at that description of Jesus, that doesn't necessarily line up with what we normally picture when we think of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, right? I think quite often we have a very one-sided perspective of who Jesus is. And we have a one-sided perspective, I think, of what Christianity is as well. We think, when we think of Jesus, we often visualize him to be like the paintings that we've seen of him at this man that's, you know, perfect, and he's at total, complete peace and serenity as he sits on the hillside of Judea overlooking Jerusalem. We often see him as the kind and gentle shepherd with a halo above his head, who's peacefully carrying a wounded lamb over to safety. We tend to picture him as soft and weak and someone who was absolutely decimated by the Romans and by the Jews. And in part, that is an accurate description of him. The Bible tells us that he came to this earth for you and he came to this earth for me, and that he was like a lamb led to the slaughter, that he is gentle and lowly in heart. This is accurate. But there's another side to who Jesus is. Yes, he was the gentle Lamb of God who gave himself to pay for our sins, but the Bible also describes him as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. A lamb, yes, but also a lion. He is as gentle as a lamb when it comes to handling you and I. And aren't you thankful for that? He's delicate the way he handles us and our mistakes and our weaknesses and our sins. And I'm thankful for that soft hand. But when it comes to wickedness, when it comes to evil, when it comes to Satan and forces of darkness, there is nothing gentle about Jesus Christ. He is not the gentle shepherd when it comes to handling the devil. No, he's not the gentle shepherd. He is the great general. He is as fierce as a lion. He is the mighty leader of the armies of heaven who has eyes of flaming fire, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. Everybody say war. I hope I'm not frightening anyone this morning or surprising you by telling you these things, but this is in the Bible. This is in the Word of God. This is the complete and total revelation of Jesus Christ. Just in case you think I'm lying, let's take a look at some scriptures. Take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Looking at verse 7, we're picking up mid-sentence. If you want the full context, you can read the couple verses before this. But Paul is really writing to a church, and he's talking about the return of Jesus Christ, his second coming. And he says, verse 7, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Verse 10, "When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." Flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God, those who reject the gospel, reject the love of Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't describe the gentle shepherd that we see in the paintings, does it? That's a little bit more intense, right? Look at this scripture, Isaiah 42 and 13. It says, "The Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. he shall prevail against his enemies. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is a soldier. Amen? Well, I don't know, Brother Dustin. Are you sure that that's accurate? Take a look at Exodus 15, another scripture. This is during the time of God pulling Israel out of Egypt through Moses, and they're under Pharaoh's rule, and he is removing them from causing a mass exodus. Look at this, Exodus 15 and verse 3. It says, "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name." I don't know if we can get any more clear than that. Verse 4, "Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the sea, in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces." Jesus is a warrior. Yes, on one hand, he is the Lamb of God who gave himself up, surrendered his life over to the Romans to die. But on the other hand, he is the mighty lion of the tribe of Judah. And I think sometimes we only choose to see one side of the coin and not the whole picture. In fact, I think we're guilty of doing the same thing with our faith as well, with Christianity. I think quite often we ourselves, as Christians, imagine the journey of faith in Christ only from a perspective of kindness and gentleness and love. And I'll clarify what I mean by that. At times, some of us can view our Christian faith as always having a permanent smile on our face. Always, you know, soft and kind and, you know, talking sweetly and softly about the trials and the temptations that we're facing. And we have our scripture plaques on the wall in our home. And we have "Bless this house" above the doorway. And we have "Precious Moments" knickknacks from the Christian bookstore all over our home. And I'm not mocking these things. My wife and I have this stuff in our home. I decorated it. And you know that the Bible absolutely tells us that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there will be certain kinds of fruit produced in your life, right? Things like love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. That's true. So I'm not mocking that. But the same Holy Spirit should also be producing soldiers of the cross. The same Holy Spirit should be producing mighty warriors for the kingdom of God. We are called to war. And I'm speaking to the church this morning and telling you we are called to do battle. We are called to go to war. Yes, we are called to righteousness and peace, but we are also called to do battle. Look at 1 Timothy 1:18. Paul says this to this young minister of the gospel. He says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." We are called to wage war. Let's talk about this idea of war for a few minutes. What or who is it that we are against, that we are warring against? I want to bring to your attention today three areas that you and I are battling as saints of God. We're talking about renewing our battles, paying attention to where we're at and what we're supposed to be fighting. I'm going to bring three areas that we fight, that we are supposed to be battling in this Christian journey. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Many of us know this scripture. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Now, for the sake of this message, we're not going to get into everything that is being said in that verse. But I want us to notice, number one, what we are not fighting against or what we shouldn't be at war with. Notice the first statement there. We do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. What does that mean? That means you shouldn't be at war with each other, right? That means you shouldn't be at war with your neighbor, your spouse, your brother, your sister. You shouldn't be at war against pastor. No, we don't fight flesh and blood. This is why the Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, all those fruit of the Spirit. because they're demonstrated and they're used amongst ourselves with each other. That's where those are on display, right? The gentleness and patience and love of the Lamb produced in us is meant to be shared with each other, but there will also be a lion produced in the life of a Spirit-filled believer. And the lion is to be released against what is mentioned in the next part of the verse in Ephesians 6. We do fight against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness, spirits of wickedness in the heavenly realm. What's an area of battle for you as a Christian? Spirits of darkness, number one, spirits of darkness. We fight against spirits of darkness. The very representation and definition of evil in this world is Satan and the demonic spirits who were kicked out of the presence of God. They had it made at one time. They were in heaven with God, and they challenged God for his position, and that lasted about a millisecond. And then they were booted out of heaven. They were booted out of the presence of God, banished into darkness. These spirits fell from heaven to this earth, and they are ticked off at God because they can't go back. They are irate, but they know that they can't hurt God because he's God. They can't hurt him. And so to get to him, they try hurting the thing that God loves the most. That's you. It's you. You are who God loves, and you are the object of their attack. Make no mistake about it. These spirits of darkness are at war with God through you. They are at war with God, and the prize is your soul and my soul. Well, how do they do that? How do they come at me? How do they try to hurt me? What does this look like? Well, they work on us through our temptations, and they work on us through persecution. Temptation and persecution, any way that they can get us to take steps away from God, any way that they can convince us to put distance between ourselves and the King of Kings, they'll do it. They might use something like peer pressure. Young people, I know you have to deal with peer pressure in high school and middle schools, and really that doesn't change as you continue on in life, but this invisible pressure that tries to rob you of being content with your identity in God, with who you are in God. Why is there peer pressure? Who cares if you don't go to parties? Who cares if you don't drink alcohol? Who cares if you don't participate in things that are ungodly? Why do people care so much? Why is there this pressure that you should care about this? Is it because that they want to be your friend? Is it because they love you and they want what's best for you? No, I would say there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. How do you think the spirits of darkness, young people, how do you think the spirits of darkness feel about 31,000 teenagers worshiping God in Lucas Oil Stadium last year? You think they like that? I don't think they like that too much. How do you think they feel about you coming on the campus, a secular campus, and bringing a P7 Bible study where you're teaching the Word of God to people? I don't think they feel too good about that. How are they going to try to break that up and tear that down, what the Lord is trying to do through your ministry? They're going to pressure you. They're going to try to pressure you away from God and into something else. What about the rest of us? How do these spiritual hosts of wickedness feel about you praying in the workplace? You think they like that? I don't think they like that too much. You bringing the presence of God into your workplace, you bringing the presence of God into your neighborhood, you being known as the Christian in the neighborhood. You think they are concerned about what you're doing for the kingdom of God? Believe me, they have your address marked in their GPS. They know your address. And they are going to continue to pressure us and squeeze us and to lead our souls away from our Savior. But I want to tell somebody today that we're not going to back down. We're not backing down. We're not taking steps back. We're not going to give in. I will not be pushed around by the agents of darkness who want me to experience the same hell that they're going to get. I'm going to draw my battle lines in the sand and refuse to be pushed back. And that's what we need to make our minds up about at the beginning of this year. 2018 is going to be a year that we move forward and advance the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody. Maybe your lines have been erased in the sand. You need to redraw those lines and say, I'm not backing up. I'm not going backwards. I'm going forward. I'm going to keep pushing and keep pushing because I worship the King of all kings. I serve the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. The gates of hell will not prevail over me, over my brothers and my sisters who are a part of the church of the living God. We just sang about it. Nothing can stop the name of Jesus. God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness. We're fighting and warring against spirits of darkness, and we ought not to be ignorant of that reality, and we ought not to step back and go in reverse. What else are we at constant war with? We're at war with the flesh. Everybody say the flesh. We're at war with our flesh. Didn't we just read that we do not war against flesh and blood? Didn't we just read that in Ephesians 6? Then what are we talking about? Look at these verses. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts or wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. What's he talking about here? He's saying you're not at war with flesh and blood amongst yourselves when it comes to fighting against your neighbor or your brother, but you are at war with the flesh when it comes to you. We have a problem inside of us called our flesh, and we are at war with that flesh. We have a problem within us. We crave things. Our flesh craves things. It desires things. And a lot of those things aren't good for us. They're in opposition to our walk with God. This is why we're having a media fast. Because we get in these routines, we get in these cycles and these systems, and we don't even realize it, but we automatically go to it every day. We just wake up and we go back to it. And we become addicted. We become dependent upon it. And we need to take these fasts to take a break, take a time out, and listen to God again. Next week, I think we're having our food fast, separating ourselves from those things, taking a break. Our flesh craves it. Why? Because we started off as sinners. We practiced sin and we needed to be born again. And we have some desires rooted in us and established in us that are not godly desires, but they're still there. Yes, we became born again. Yes, we gave our life over to Christ and we're journeying, but we have these roots and these established desires and cravings deep within us, and they didn't just disappear. We're at war against them. This is a fight. We crave certain things. We want it. We want to feel it, experience it. We want to be satisfied in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's an excess of food, drugs, sex, laziness, alcohol, media, shopping, whatever it may be. If it's sinful in God's eyes and you crave it, that's a point of battle for this war that we're fighting. And our mind is telling us, I want to do what's right. I want to do what God wants me to do. But our flesh is saying, just do it. Just go through with it. Just get the satisfaction. Just pursue that pleasure, that desire. And by the way, don't think that the devil, that these spirits of darkness don't know what you're tempted by. They know. They know what you're tempted. There's a reason why certain specific temptations just seem to drop into place after you just made a declaration to stop or to quit. I tempted you this morning already with an email. And we just said we're having a media fast. We got to be careful. But we are at war with our flesh, right? And if we're not careful, if we're not aware of it, we could be taken down a path of deception and away from God's kingdom, away from our Lord. Why are we talking about this stuff this morning? Am I trying to get you scared or get you pumped up to go riot in the streets? No, of course not. We are starting a fresh year. And our objective is to renew ourselves and our walk with God. I want to see things the way they really are. I want to have the right perspective when I step into a new year. Yes, it's just a date on a calendar, but it's an opportunity also for us to change some things. I want to have clarity in my journey of faith. And we're starting fresh in our Bible reading, starting fresh in our prayer life. We're disciplining ourselves through fasting. Yes, we're doing it as an act of worship, but it's also a part of our warfare, training us for battle, to be more successful in 2018 in the areas that maybe we failed in the previous year. When you read your Bible this year, write down and memorize scriptures that will help you fight against your flesh. Write down those scriptures. Memorize them. Put them in your heart. David said, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." You hide that inside of you, so when that temptation is in front of you, you can recognize it. And you have a scripture that comes to your mind that you know what the word of God says. That'll help you in making your choices and your decisions. When you pray this year, pray prayers that rip down the devil's kingdom. Don't just pray, "Bless this food to my body. Bless this day. Watch over me." Pray more intense prayers in the morning. "I'm tearing the devil's kingdom down. I'm coming at the enemy this year. The church of God is going to advance and going to push forward this year." Amen? Pray prayers and memorize verses that you can use to pull people into the arms of Jesus Christ. It's a war. It's a battle. Let's not forget that in 2018. What's another area that we're fighting against? Everybody say the mind. We're fighting against our minds right here. That's right. Your brain can be an enemy. Your brain, it can be your enemy. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Verse 5 says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." What are we fighting against? He says, pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the things of God. A stronghold is a fortified military bunker. It's a fort that's dug into the ground and can't necessarily be seen by the enemy, and certainly is very, very difficult to penetrate and to take over. And we have strongholds within our thinking. We have things deep within our hearts and our minds that we don't even realize they're controlling us oftentimes, dictating the decisions we make. Some of us have certain prejudices within us for no reason other than they were planted there when we were children. Some of us have strongholds of pride and selfishness, and we can't understand why God isn't more real in our lives, but God forbid would we ever lift our hands and worship Him. We have too much pride inside of ourselves. We don't understand, why wouldn't I worship? Why wouldn't I lift my hands? We would never come to an altar and get on our knees and humble ourselves before God. It could be a blind spot within our mind that we can't even see. What's the thing stopping us? Maybe it's our pride. Maybe it's our selfishness. Maybe it's our insecurities. Maybe it's, I don't know, whatever it could be. The verse said, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." How many of us are going to argue with God this year when He speaks to us in 2018? I don't see any hands. You know, it's funny, I see this sometimes in others, and I find myself doing this as well, but we do this thing where we want to hear from God. We're waiting for something. Like, give me an answer on this. Like, do I take a right? Do I take a left? What do I do? And we want to hear from God about something in our life, and then all of a sudden He tells us, and then all of a sudden our own brilliant intellect kind of exalts itself against above what He told us. You know, it's like, well, here's a scripture right here. I mean, it's literally, it's like God's telling you to do this. Well, I just don't know. I mean, I just can't see it that way. I'm not sure if that's 100% correct. And, you know, Lord, please give me direction about this thing I'm going through. Should I pursue this relationship or should I not? Should I take this job? Should I go to church this Sunday? Lord, kind of give me some direction. And the Lord answers us and we're like, well, I don't know. I just really think I should date this person. I feel good about it. Feels good. I know what God said, but I think my knowledge kind of exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Or I know you said this job really isn't right for my family, and it's going to mean I'm going to miss more church and be less involved, be a little bit more distant, but the money is really what we need right now, Lord. I have the best vantage point, and I think the money is what we need right now. We exalt our own knowledge above what God has spoken to us, and we all do this in some way. The mind is a war zone. It's a battle point. Mind's a battlefield. We can imagine things that aren't even real, and yet those imaginations will begin to control us and dictate our behavior, the way we act toward one another, and it's not even a reality, something that we're envisioning or imagining. I wonder if we could be renewed in this area of battle. I wonder if we could have fresh perspective this year and not allow 2018 to be another year where we make a bunch of bad decisions that we think are good. I wonder if we could exalt the word of God above our own thinking and above our own opinions this year. Amen. I think we can do better in 2018. I think we can pray and ask the Lord to help us catch ourselves when we're working contrary to his commands. I think we can make up our minds and confess to God the things that are wrong with us and listen to him. Submit to him this year. Not my will be done, but his will be done in my life. We are at war with our own thoughts. So we know what we're fighting, right? We're fighting spirits of darkness. We're fighting our flesh, cravings, desires of our flesh. We're fighting our own mind. Why do we have such difficulty being successful over these enemies? Why does it seem like each, you know, every so often we have to keep revisiting this idea? Why are we unsuccessful? I gave you three areas that we're battling up against. Now I want to give you three reasons we struggle to be successful in this war. And these will be quick. Three reasons we're unsuccessful in war. Number one, lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Look at Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. God isn't saying the rest of the world is lost and destroyed because they just don't know me. He's saying my own people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Again, going back to the idea that we think this Christian journey is, just about being kind to each other and just about, the fruit of the Spirit that we read when we talk about, spending time with one another. There are some of us who even believe that the new birth, our water baptism and receiving God's Holy Spirit, we think that was the finish line. Oh, I hit the finish line, 15 years ago. Now I'm just kind of riding it out and waiting for the return of Christ. That was the starting line. You're just getting going. You're just starting. You have entered into the war. Now you actually, have acknowledged that you're stepping into the war zone. Being a disciple of Jesus is not only being baptized, speaking in tongues, and then church attendance. It's learning to crush the enemy of our soul. Some of us lack that knowledge. Now we've talked about it this morning. Now you have no excuse. You don't lack that knowledge. Amen. Second reason I think we're unsuccessful in war is we grow weary. We grow weary. Battling and fighting day after day after day, it wears on you. It wears us out. You work a job, and most of the time you get to go home at night. You work 8, 10, 12 hours, you get to go home at night, you get to relax. You get a little break there. Kick back and relax. You get weekends off. You don't get that stuff in war. You don't get that stuff in this kind of battle. There are no days off. There are no vacations. This is what makes it so tough. You've just gotten off of a long work week or a long day at work, and you're ready to kick back and relax, but you can't let your spiritual guard down. We want to, our flesh is weary, it's tired from working or doing whatever it is that we're doing, and we want to kick back and relax, but at the same time, we have to remember we still have to keep our spiritual guards up. You can't just click on the TV and channel surf and see whatever comes on and just watch whatever, catches your eye. You can't just drop your moral convictions after a long day at the office. That fight doesn't end. You still have to pay attention. And that can make us weary. It can wear on us after a while. It's tiresome. The Bible tells us to not grow weary in well-doing. And that's why we're talking about this morning. That's the purpose of this renewal. It's we can find rest in the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is our rest. Jesus Christ is our rest. We can be re-energized, refreshed, and empowered to get back in the ring and fight again. So don't grow weary. Stay close to Christ. That's our source of power. Amen? Third and final reason I think we're unsuccessful in war is distraction. Distraction. I have people ask me this question all the time. Why do you think we don't see so much supernatural experiences, supernatural miracles take place in the Western world, like you hear about in other countries or you read about in the Bible? Why don't we see that? Why don't we see more demonic activity like we read about in the Bible? I believe it's because we are blinded by a spirit. We are blinded by a spirit of materialism and distraction. The devil has this culture so oblivious to the spiritual war that's taking place by just distracting us with the practical material things of our everyday lives. We're oblivious. Most people in our culture don't even believe in a spiritual realm or know about it, because we've had everything we've ever wanted right in front of us, physically there in a second when we wanted it. We're running around like crazy people every day, getting to work, rushing home, rush to the bank, grab something to eat, go over to somebody's house, rush back home, post our social media stuff, climb in our beds, fall asleep, but we forgot to pray. We forgot to read God's word. We forgot to listen to his voice. We forgot that we are in a war. Everybody say distraction. Take a look at what the disciples said, disciples of the New Testament said about distraction during war. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." No one engaged in warfare gets wrapped up or entangled in other things. Don't get entangled or wrapped up in the things of this life. They really don't mean quite as much as you think they mean. If you want to please your general, if you want to please he who enlisted you as a soldier, focus on what he's called you to do. Focus on the fight. This isn't a time of peace. It's not peacetime. You'll have plenty of time to relax in paradise. In fact, you'll have more than enough time, because there is no time. You'll have eternity. This is wartime. Don't get entangled in the minute things of this world. I'm here to inform us and remind us this morning to get back to business. Put on the whole armor of God and fight. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Put to death the members of your flesh. Come on, guys. Fight the good fight of faith in 2018. Our King deserves the best that we have. Are you willing to fight for a King who has given you the promise of eternal life? You ready to answer that call to service this year? This is a recruitment to serve in the greatest army ever. You are being drafted this morning. Will you give your all to the one who gave you his all? Musicians can come at this time. I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is going to be coming back. That's the opening scripture we looked at, his return. Don't forget about that. And it says he's going to make war with the armies of darkness and of sin, and that the armies of heaven will follow him. Who are the armies of heaven that's described in that passage of scripture we looked at in Revelation? That's us. That's the saints of God, the armies of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. Why wait for the final battle for you to begin fighting for your King? Why don't you start right now? Start today. Get back in the fight. Thomas Becket was the Archbishop of Canterbury from 1162 until his murder in 1170. And he was at one time a very close friend of King Henry II, who by no means a godly man of any sort. And so because they were friends, because Henry wanted control over the church at that time, to kind of use it politically, he promoted Thomas through the ranks of the church and eventually to archbishop. And he figured that he'd put his buddy in a position of leadership so he could utilize the church to his advantage. However, God had other plans. And upon Thomas's appointment to archbishop, the Lord spoke to Thomas, and he was convicted in his heart of his sin, and he was radically converted and surrendered his life over to the will of God. And this, of course, backfired on King Henry, who wanted control of the church and now couldn't have it because his friend Thomas Becket became an actual Christian. And he became a soldier, no longer for the kingdom of England, but now for the kingdom of God. Thomas was so radically converted and willing to do his best to do what is right and what God to perform God's perfect will, that he stood his ground against the wickedness of the King of England, to the point that the king had to send soldiers into the cathedral, into the house of God where he was worshiping, and slay Thomas right at the altar of the cathedral. Thomas's men, the other priests, they didn't want this to happen. Didn't want things to happen this way, but Thomas's response to them was, the kingdom of God should be defended just the same as any other kingdom. Men and women go to war for their country. They die for their family, for their possessions. They fight for their money. They fight for their ego and many other things that pertain to this world. God forbid that we should fight, that we shouldn't fight harder than we fight for these things in this world. We should fight harder for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Almighty God. Would you stand with me today? I wonder if there's anyone here that needed to be reminded this morning that there is a war taking place over your soul today. If you're a guest here today and this message was kind of eye-opening to you, or maybe you're not even aware of this battle, I want to invite you this morning to come and enlist on the right side. Get on the right side. There's a Savior named Jesus who loves you, who gave himself for you, who died for you. Died to pay for all the things you've done wrong in your life, all that you might go to heaven, to the kingdom of God, and enjoy being in a relationship with him. And if that sounds good to you today, and you want to enlist in that army and join his kingdom, take a look at this final verse, John 3 and 5. Jesus answered and says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you want to step into the kingdom of God today, if you want to get on the right side where your soul will be safe, protected, where you will fight for a worthy cause, you can be born again, as Jesus says, of the water and the Spirit. Pray and ask God to fill you with his Spirit. He will honor that request. He will honor that petition. We can baptize you this morning. We have a baptistry back here. We can baptize you in water. We have changing robes for you, baptismal robes for you. Don't have to get your clothes wet, but you could step into this kingdom. You can step into this relationship. Join this fight and be on the right side, because as we read in Revelation 19, if we were to continue, we'd realize that Jesus wins. The church of God wins in the end. Amen. To the rest of us, why don't we take some time this morning and let's renew ourselves in our fight. Renew ourselves in this battle. Get refreshed. Get strengthened. Have clarity. Have focus. Why don't you come forward and pray at this time? This area is open for you to come forward and pray and talk to God. Ask him to touch you. Ask him to speak to you. Ask him to give you strength. Maybe you're growing weary today. Maybe it's been a long past year, past season that you've been battling and fighting. This is the prime moment, perfect opportunity for you to come forward and to receive strength through God. Why don't you come and pray at this time? Thank you.
For your presence came and changed me. Yeah.